ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We'll chant verses 9 to 13, chapter 3.
Yajñārtākarmaṇon yatra, lokoyam karma bandhanaha, tadartam karma kaunteya, मुक्तसङ्गः समाचर। यज्ञार्थकर्मणोन् यत्र लोकोऽयं कर्मबन्धनः तदर्थं कर्म कौन्तेय मुक्तसङ्गः समाचर। सह यज्ञा प्रजा सृष्ट्वा पुरोवाच प्रजापतिः अनेन प्रसविष्यद्वं येषवोत्कृष्टकामधो। सह यज्ञा प्रजा सृष्ट्वा पुरोवाच प्रजापतिः अनेन प्रसविष्यद्वं येषवोत्कृष्टकामधो। देवान् भावयतानेन ते देवा भावयन्तु वः परस्परं भावयन्तः श्रेयः परमवाप्स्यत। देवान् भावयतानेन ते देवा भावयन्तु वः परस्परं भावयन्तः श्रेयः परमवाप्स्यत। इष्टान् भोगान् हि वो देवाः दास्यन्ते यज्ञभाविताः तैतत्तानप्रदायैव्यः यो भुङ्क्तेस्तेन एव सः। इष्टान् भोगान् हि वो देवाः दास्यन्ते यज्ञभाविताः तैतत्तानप्रदायैव्यः यो भुङ्क्तेस्तेन एव सः। यज्ञशिष्टाशिनसन्तः मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः भुञ्जते ते त्वगं पापाः एकचन्त्यात्मकारणात्। यज्ञशिष्टाशिनसन्तः मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः भुञ्जते ते त्वगं पापाः एकचन्त्यात्मकारणात्।
This third chapter, entitled as Karma Yoga, is a chapter that talks about the science of action. The entire Gita is talking about what is our original nature, who we essentially are. Throughout the life, everybody is searching only for one thing, and that is happiness. And somebody is searching through avoiding action, somebody is searching through certain actions. What we call as dukkha nivritti and sukha prapti. Something that will give us dukkha, we try to avoid it. Something that we believe will bring us joy, we try to court it. So from the time you wake up till the time you go to bed, from the time you are born till the time you die, all that you are searching for is happiness. So Vedanta is saying that happiness that you are searching for is you yourself. In other words, the destination is the starting point also. You are happiness. Trying to find it outside, you will not succeed. You can only find it within yourself. So unless and until you understand your true nature, you cannot find that happiness or ananda. So who you essentially are? We, out of ignorance of our true nature, we do not know who we essentially are. We know everything about ourselves, but we do not know where we come from, where we are going, what are we doing here, who we essentially are, we do not know. So this ignorance of our true nature brings about a misunderstanding of ourselves to be an individual. A separate entity is assumed, what we call as ego. So this ego itself is born due to the ignorance of our true nature. And out of ego, we do so many actions. Because firstly, I believe myself to be separate from the total. And then I say, I have to work for myself. I have to grab this, I have to grab that, I have to accumulate this, I have to do this, I have to enjoy, etc. So out of ego, I am doing lot of actions, and that is causing lot of problems for us. And we are struggling to solve all these problems. You keep solving one problem, other problem seems to be coming, arising. So Vedanta says, you can never solve any problem permanently unless and until you solve this problem of ego. Unless and until you really understand your original essential nature. Unless and until you find out who you essentially are. So in the first chapter we saw Arjuna told Lord Krishna, who accepted to be his charioteer, his close friend, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna said, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. I would like to see you all have come to fight to please Duryodhana. So when he said my chariot, Lord just smiled. My, the ego. This is the root of all the sufferings, all the problems. So Lord just smiled because he knows this is what Arjuna is also suffering from. And unless and until the ego is conquered, the battle is not conquered. You may have skill, you may have everything, but if you become egoistic, everything will be lost. So Lord just smiled for Arjuna to become a student and receive, because knowledge is never given. Even though you have the knowledge, you can't give it to somebody unless and until it is asked for. So Lord just waited for Arjuna to turn to a Sishya, and fortunately, though in the first chapter Arjuna did not understand that he is suffering, fortunately in the second chapter he understood. So in the seventh verse he surrendered to the Lord and said, please teach me, I do not know what is the right thing to do here. Whether to fight or to leave the battle and go to Himalayas and meditate. Because when he saw, when he requested Lord Krishna to take the chariot, what did the Lord do? He taught him indirectly, did not teach him directly. How did he teach him indirectly? He took the chariot. As he was told, he took the chariot and placed it in between both the armies, but strategically right in front of Bhishma and Drona. Drona happens to be his own guru. And Bhishma is his own great grandfather. In fact, the story goes that he renounced the throne for which these people are now fighting. So all these things, when the ego is there, ego is nothing but the memories of the past. A madman is one who has lost his ego. He has lost his memories of the past. Right? So temporarily he's lost his ego. And interestingly, a madman is taken care of by the society's taxpayers' money, right? So even when your ego is lost temporarily, you are taken care of. Like for example, even if you are drunk, not suggesting you should do that, but even if you are drunk and you lose your ego temporarily and you walk on the middle of the road, somebody comes, helps you to cross the road safely. When the ego is lost, everything is taken care of. Right? But don't use this example wrongly. And then say you only quoted in the class. So in other words, Arjuna was suffering after having seen Bhishma and Drona, his emotions came up. He became emotional, he turned emotional. He said, how can I fight these people? How can I kill them? And killing is sin. And that too, killing a guru and my own great grandfather is all sin. They are all good people. They are not bad people, they are very good people. And they happen to be my relatives also. And not only my relatives, somebody who has sacrificed so much for me. How can I kill them? How can I eliminate them? This brought him confusion. So he said, let me go back. But he also knew, if he goes back, his nature is to fight. He's not capable of sitting and meditating for long. Right? Many a times, when some sorrowful situation comes, you walk off. But you are not somebody who can be peaceful mentally. You want to get back to the world. And when you get back to the world, you have to meet all the same people, right? So temporarily, a lot of people, like for example, when some like father or mother, somebody near and dear dies, and only two children, let us say, brothers. One fellow says, my father himself is gone. How do I care for his properties? When my father himself is dead and gone, I'm not interested in his properties. You keep it, and he signs off. Everything goes to the elder brother or something like that. And then later on, after 10 years, he's filing the case. But that, it's not that he's risen above all of them. But that mental condition at that moment is such that he believes that he's not interested in all of them. So, Arjuna is neither here nor there. So he's confused. And he surrenders to the Lord in the second chapter and says, I am thy disciple, you are my guru. I am confused about what is my duty. I don't know what is right, what is wrong. Tell me what is good for me. Then the Lord spoke about the true nature of Atma. You are Atma. You are not XYZ. You are Atma. Now being born as Arjuna, this body is something that comes. This body is something that goes. He gave a beautiful example. He said this body is like a vesture. Don't forget that. Vesture, clothes. It's a shirt. It's an apparel. You throw the shirt when it has become useless and you wear the new one. Just like that, you also throw this body and you pick up the new body. You are not this body, you are not this mind, you are not this intellect, you are Atma. Atma is imperishable. You have had many janmas in the past, you don't remember all of them. And after this janma, if you have not realized the self, you will continue to have more janmas. So this is just that. Journey. This is just a travel. Like for example, few hours ago, you would have probably been in that lounge. Now from that lounge, you have given away that apparel of lounge and you have been in this room, study room, to study the Gita. Now after 1.5 hours, you will throw this shirt also and you will move into kitchen for your lunch, a dining hall for your lunch. And then from that room, you will move to some other. You are constantly changing your clothes. These are all your clothes. So when you are in the kitchen, in the kitchen, cook. When you are in the dining hall, eat. When you are in the study room, study. That's all you are supposed to do. If you oversimplify Gita, it is easy. Actually, it is what it is. So, but we will complicate it. Right? So, Lord Krishna explained everything beautifully, that you are Atma. You are today believing that you are the body having a soul, but actually you are the soul having a body, and this body is something that is given up and a new one that is taken up. Even science tells us every 7 years complete cells are changed. Then what are these hairs? We spend so much money on these hairs, right? Decorating and all that. All of us do, right? So much money is spent. But what are they? Dead cells. Isn't it? Coming from my body. So constantly changing. Even through all this that is changing, there is a changeless phenomenon, and that changeless phenomenon is you. Change is noticed only with reference to a changeless phenomenon. When you are traveling in the flight, sometimes you don't even feel as if you are traveling. But if the clouds are moving, then you say, you understand? So, with reference to a changeless phenomenon only, a changing, change is recognized. So, the changeless aspect in you is the I. When you were a small child, you said, I am a child. Then you say, I am a girl. Then you say, I am a woman. Then you say, I am an old woman. child is different from the girl, girl is different from the woman, woman is different from the old woman. But the I is same. So you are that I that is changeless, not this changing factors. All that Lord Krishna explained. And then he went on to explain, knowing this, keeping this knowledge, you must act. And when you act knowingly, you will not act with ego. You will act consciously as a part of the portal, as a spoke in the wheel of life. Karmani eva adhikaraha ma paleshu kadachana. Then you will not think of what I will get, what I will benefit from this, etc., etc. You will just see what has to be done, you will do it. Right? And that is Karma Yoga. When Arjuna was told about Karma Yoga and all that, Arjuna interrupted and said, please tell me something more about a perfect human being that you were talking about. Siddha Prajna. Then Lord gave 18 verses explaining about who is a perfect individual, perfect human being. Then in the third chapter now, the beginning, which is entitled as Karma Yoga. Second chapter is entitled as what? Sankhya Yoga. Yoga of knowledge. First chapter is entitled as Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Means the yoga of Arjuna's despondency. Arjuna's mind was confused, confounded. That is what happened in the first chapter. Then he needed knowledge to remove the confusion. So in the second chapter, Lord Krishna gave knowledge. And after knowledge was given, now he is telling how to use that knowledge in life. If knowledge is not used in life, it is theory. It is just information. It will not get consolidated and it will not bring about transformation. So what is third chapter? Third chapter is practical Vedanta. Karma Yoga. Are you with me? So, in the third chapter beginning, Arjuna is asking a question. Remember, Bhagavad Gita is nothing but conversation between Lord Krishna and Arjuna, Guru and Sishya. And so many questions were posed by the Sishya and were patiently answered by the Guru. And this chapter also begins with a question. Some chapters doesn't begin with a question. A question has to be supplied. It comes from the body language of Arjuna. Lord Krishna sees, oh, he still not understood, he continues. Even though Arjuna has not asked question. But in the third chapter, Arjuna is asking the question. What is the question? Jayati chet karmanaste mata buddhir janatana. Tatkim karmani gore ma meoji yasi keshava. Vyam shrene va vakyena buddhim moha yasi vame. Tadekam vada nischitya ena shreyoha mahyam. O Lord, I was telling you that it is bad karma to kill my guru and my great grandfather and all those people. So I was ready to walk away and go to the forest. But you were insisting that I should fight. So when I clarified in the second chapter, you were only emphasizing on knowledge. You are praising knowledge so much. If you are praising knowledge so much, why are you compelling me, impelling me, forcing me to do the action, which also terrible action of killing? Where Arjuna still believes that killing per se is bad. He understands or misunderstands that action per se is bad. So he is asking these questions. So why are you compelling me? You are confusing my understanding as it were. He is not accusing Krishna that you are confusing me, but he is saying, I am not able to understand. You are not confusing me, but it seems you are confusing me. I am getting confused. So please clarify. Tell me one thing for certain. He is an army man, remember. So he is saying, I want direction. Should I fight or no? Or not? Don't tell me this and that. Tell me certainly. Then the Lord said, in this world there is a twofold path. There are no two paths. There is one path only, but it is twofold. Path is only one, but it is twofold. Meaning the path is twofold because the individual is either introverted or extroverted. Don't forget this. I told you the interesting journey, the spiritual journey itself is very interesting. It is not something that you are attaining through spiritual education. Spiritual education tells you there is nothing to be attained. You are already that. It is not that you are stupid today and you have to become intelligent. You are already Atma. You are not Madhu Shri, you said, na? You are not Madhu Shri. You understand? You are Atma. The problem is everybody is Atma. But everybody will turn. So some number is given. So that number is Madhu Shri in your case. That's all. So in fact, philosophically, they call it as Nama Rupa. Nama Rupa means, Nama means name. Rupa means form. Atma in one form has been given the Nama Madhu Shri. Another Rupa, it has been given another name, Anu. Another Rupa, another name, Mamta. You understand? But essentially everything is Atma. So there is nothing to be attained. You are already that. What has to be done? The ignorance is there. You do not know that you are Atma. You are imagining that you are Mamta. You are imagining that you are Madhu Shri. So this ignorance has to be removed. And for the ignorance has to be removed, knowledge has to be given. But for the knowledge to be given, you should be introverted to listen, na? See how many people are there in this class. How many, you understand? You can announce to all your friends. Finally, very few people will be there. Initially, lot of people will come, because how can I say no to Mamta? She has come to my house whenever I call. So how can I say no to her? So I will also go. Initially. But ultimately, only few can settle down. And we are not criticizing, or we are not saying we are superior. It is a fact that there is mind playing havoc. There is plenty of desires. There are so many things, so many preoccupations. They are not available at the moment. For example, youngsters. They are chasing some career and this and that. You understand? Oh, iske baad vahan, iske baad vahan. I have to establish my business, my this thing, my family. You understand? There are so many, many, many preoccupations are there. So the greater the preoccupation, lesser the receptivity. So when a person is extroverted, he says, Asmin loke dvidha nishta. In this world, there is a twofold path. And then he said, for extroverted people, action. For introverted people, knowledge. At least once a week on Tuesdays, for 1 hour, 15 minutes, if you can keep your mind calmly, then Vedanta class is for you. If on once a week, 1 hour, 15 minutes also you can't, then too much of karma you have to do. Now, we are not great introverts. Supposing I tell you all of you join the ashram, you will be contemplating first thing in the morning. Should I continue Vedanta class or give up Vedanta? Because this fellow is suggesting that I shift my abode from Delhi to ashram permanently. You can't. You also need the other things. You also need to have your get-togethers. You also need to have your other traveling. You also have your other needs today. Not that your mind is absolutely free from preoccupations, but at least relatively it's free. To the extent you are introverted, to that extent you take knowledge. To the extent you are extroverted, to that extent you need to do action. You will be. Therefore Krishna says, Arjuna, you are an extroverted person. Therefore I am suggesting action for you. In fact, actionlessness means perfection has to be reached through action, not through inaction. Why? Except Madhu Shri, both of you can say. Rishi just came today. Next week she can answer. Action, right? We discussed this in detail.
When you are active, that
protect.
It's a challenge. And when you come to a conscious center with the knowledge, so you are doing it consciously.
There's realization as it will be action.
To give you attachment, yes. Why are you doing action?
See, if there is so much of desires inside you, and outside you are not acting, your physical body is not expressing action. But mentally you have so many desires. So he gave the verse number 6, if you remember. Physical body is restrained, controlled. Organs of actions are controlled. But mind is thinking about the object. When mind is thinking about the object, what will happen? Without action, desires are going to increase or decrease?
It's increasing.
It's increasing. But physically you are not doing anything. So will you get the object of your desire? So what will happen? You will get more frustration, more suppression. The desire is only going to become much more. So inaction is only going to make you an hypocrite, not make you mentally free. Are you with me? Actionlessness means what? Mind that is completely free. Today your mind is not free. Therefore what you have to do? You have to act. But the problem today is when I am acting with my desires propelling my action. Therefore through action also I am increasing more and more desire. So I need to be given a technique by which I act, but I reduce the desire. I fulfill my desire, at the same time my desires also reduce. Therefore Karma Yoga was given. Karma Yoga is a technique wherein you do the action. Through the action you become free from action.
That action, but then you get into another action.
Yeah.
So your desire is slowly.
Yeah, I'll tell you. You have a desire to play toys.
Play?
With toys. Okay. A child, for example. Child has to play with toys. Child has so many desires to play with toys. Now, what you do is come. First the child, and then you come on. You say, take the toys away from child. What will the child do? He will start bringing the whole house down. Start crying. Instead, what do? You slowly, slowly attract the child with something higher. A computer game, an iPad. Now the iPads have all this, applications, apps. You show the child, and then, what is that? Give me the iPad, and child automatically drops these toys and starts playing with the iPad. And once the child started playing with the iPad and started tasting the subtler joy compared to the toy world joy, it forgets the
toy.
Forgets means what? It is risen above it. It is not only risen above the toys that it was playing, even the other toys that it was not playing. Now, today when you see your son or your grandson playing with some toys, new toys have come. The computerized, mechanized things have come. These were not the toys with which you were playing. So do you say, hey, when I was growing up, these toys were not available, so let me play with those toys now? Supposing you do have the desires, please don't tell us. But you have risen above everything. Even the toys that you have not played with. Because from this level you have jumped to another level. So Karma Yoga is consciously identifying with the Atma and doing your duty as an obligation. And that's why I said the Grihastha Ashrama. In this context I explained to you there is Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grihastha Ashrama, Vanaprastha Ashrama, and then Sannyasa Ashrama. These are the four
stages
of life, or four lifestyles you can say. Right? In the beginning you are in the Brahmacharya Ashrama. What is Brahmacharya Ashrama mean? Basically, Brahmacharya is stage of strengthening. Are you with me? And when you are strengthening yourself, you need protection. Like when a lady conceives also, they say first 3 months go, you have to be careful. Right? And the plant also, the sapling also, needs to be protected. When the roots have become little stronger, then it doesn't require that same protection. So similarly, when the child is growing and it is strengthening itself, and remember, unless the tree plant becomes the tree, it can't give back to the world. Mango sapling, when you plant, it needs to be nourished, needs to be taken care of, and then once it becomes tree, thereafter it goes on giving fruits. You understand? So you need to first strengthen yourself. So in the beginning, in Brahmacharya Ashrama, Brahmacharya means walking the path of Brahman, walking the path of truth, walking towards strengthening yourself, towards reaching the Atma. So the knowledge is taken, and when you are growing, along with your physical growth and your mental growth, there are a lot of changes that will happen. And when there are a lot of changes that will happen, slowly, slowly, a lot of new curiosities will come. At that time, there is a tremendous possibility of your mind getting distracted. Therefore, certain disciplines were emphasized emphatically, it was mentioned. Not because they are all bad or wrong. Believe me, if it was emphasized with that sort of an angle, it is bad. It in fact brings about a negative effect on the child. So the child is protected not because the child, these are bad things. The child needs to become strong. Like for example, Adi Shankara says in Vajagovindam, Artham Anartham. Wealth is calamitous. It is like saying electricity is calamitous. Electricity is calamitous because you do not know how to deal with electricity. But when an electrician comes, some of the electricians, you will see them not even switching off the mains. Without switching off the mains, they are handling the wire because they know how to do it. You don't know. Hear me. So it is not that this is bad, that is bad. Today you do not have that knowledge. You haven't got that strength. You haven't got that capacity to play with it. Therefore, till you become protected, until you become strengthened, you are protected in Brahmacharya Ashrama with some disciplines so that you gain the knowledge. And then just because you got the knowledge that you are Atma doesn't mean now you start straight away thinking that you are Atma. Even though you studied and everything, desires still come up because these desires you have gathered for how many janmas we do not know, isn't it? So many janmas. Forget so many janmas. Even in this life, so many years you have gathered so many vasanas. It's not going to go away just like that. So what do you have to do? You have to practically live this knowledge in life. So when the knowledge rubs with experience, then the flakes will fall. Till then the flakes will not fall. Therefore the Grihastha Ashrama. What is Grihastha Ashrama? Stage of 25 to 50. What is it? Stage of, first is stage of strengthening. Grihastha Ashrama is stage of experiencing and stage of giving. Grihastha Ashrama is stage of experiencing and giving. Brahmacharya Ashrama is stage of strengthening and receiving. A tree goes on receiving for 5 years. For example, a coconut tree I am talking about. 3 years to 5 years. Goes on receiving. But 5 years ke baad, it goes on giving. Grihastha Ashrama itself is nothing but age of giving, stage of giving. That's what I keep on mentioning. Marriage is an institution which is based on giving. But today, marriage itself is based on taking. They keep on, you know, this, what do you call this, courting each other before marriage for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years living relationship and all that. And all the while, what is happening? Privately, as this man is calculating with his calculator, the woman is privately calculating with her calculation. What are the advantages of settling down with this fellow? What are the advantages of settling down with this lady? What will I get? What will I get? What will I get? What will I get? And when they see, achha, it is profitable to settle down, then they say, we'll marry. And they have taken 20 years with calculations, 1 year they live together. Because the very fundamentals of love, it is not taking, it is giving. You understand? You learn, you start giving. And therefore Grihastha-ashrama, through giving you, through dharmically experiencing your desires, you don't say these are bad things, these are good things, but experience them dharmically without violating the ethics and morality. Then slowly, slowly you will rise above the desires. So what happens? Your mind is slowly free from these things. You are not condemning, you are not forced to be saying these are bad. Anything forced will never be forceful, anything resisted will persist. So therefore you don't criticize or judge it, you experience it consciously. Today what is happening, when I am experiencing something, my mind is the fruit that I can get from it. Are you with me? But if I can be there fully, then my mind will become free from it. Believe me, any addiction, you can only overcome the addiction with love and awareness. If there is any other way of overcoming, you please try, but there is no such thing. The other day in that program I saw, that Satyamevo Jayate, just one or two episodes I saw out of that, one day it was about addictions, about alcohol addiction and all. All these guys who came there, who spoke about alcohol addiction, that they were addicted for so many years. One fellow was a journalist, respected journalist, and he literally lived on the streets of Delhi and all that stuff he was talking about. Later on he was taken to an addiction center, and he said he is overcome that now, he is again into life, settled, married. The guy said, in that addiction center, first thing they did not judge him. They showed love, showered him out love, you know. Means accepted. You are not judged, oh you are an addict, you are like this, you are like that. You are not judged, love. And then, whatever they did, I don't know, but slowly with love, if you can make the person go through the experience with awareness, without condemning, he will certainly get out of that addiction. But what is required is love, affection and awareness. Not preaching, not lecture. Everybody knows. I don't know whether I told you, this time when I went to US to lecturing, a gentleman whom I met there, who is my age only, he is a kind of a chain smoker. And he is an oncologist. Okay. And he is a chain smoker. So it is not knowledge. I know so many other cardiologists smoking also. They know better than you how bad it is. But mind plays different ways. You understand? So it's not knowledge per se. Please understand. So you go and say, it's a bad thing, you're doing a bad thing, you're doing. The more you agitate, the more you start smoking. Drinking also same thing. It's not that they don't know, they know. They are not able to get out of it. You understand? Any addiction for that matter. But we today sit down and judge people. We are all judgmental. See, what happens when you go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist? First thing, he is not judgmental. You go to a Swami, first thing, he is not judgmental. Otherwise, he is not a Swami. Let's put it this way. If he is judgmental, he is not a Swami. Are you with me? When Arjuna was suffering, Krishna was not judgmental. When you go to a Guru, first thing is, Guru is not judgmental. This is very important. And in fact, only when the Guru is non-judgmental, the Shishya will be free. And unless, you know, firstly, when you go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, what does he do? He or she, they make you comfortable. And you speak up. You also loosen up. Then you speak out. And don't think when I'm saying all these things, I've been to a psychiatrist. Always suffering from experience. But these are fundamentals, you should know. Right? So when you are comfortable and you bring it out, you are not, you know that the other person is non-judgmental, there is love. Then you come out. this coming out itself is a process of awareness. It's a kind of a release that is happening. It's a kind of a purgation that is happening. You understand? There is something, bad thing is gone into your stomach. You go to the doctor, what does he do? He wants you to take it out. So he wants to flush it out. So he gives you medicine for flushing it out. So you go to a psychiatrist, to a Swami, and when he is non-judgmental, you flush out everything. That itself, you feel relaxed. Suddenly, the very fact that the Guru was non-judgmental, you were relaxed. But if you see most of our relationships, we are judgmental. I am right, you are wrong, this is bad, this is right, you are a bad fellow, no, 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 no. Then that's it, finished. Exactly. So with awareness, you go through all the experiences dharmically. So what happens? Slowly, slowly, your mind becomes free. So this is what we call as karma yoga. I explained to you what karma yoga is. Karma yoga is an action that is done with dedication towards higher. Highest is the Atma. Those who cannot conceive of Atma, conceive of some higher idol. In the spiritual terms, what they say is, conceive the totality as Ishvara, of God. Do your actions as dedication to the Lord. Where is Lord? Lord is present everywhere. So do your actions for the betterment of the entire universe. You have a talent of singing. You can sing for just for making money for yourself, name and fame for yourself, or to make somebody else happy, or just go sing to the best of your ability. Word is entertain, and whatever comes out of it, accept it as a prasad. So when you do an action with dedication, the attitude of arpana bhav, we spoke about arpana bhav. When you do an action for a higher cause with an arpana bhav and accept the result that comes out of it as a prasad, when your actions are mixed with arpana bhav and prasad bhav, and you do that action with awareness, consciously, that action is called as karma yoga. Thus, when you live, slowly, slowly, you rise beyond your desires. And then the next stage comes. Even though you have not fully renounced your house, your mind is now all the time thinking about what is the truth, what is Brahman, what is Atman. You are not interested in the laukika vishaya. Laukika vishaya means worldly things. You are not interested in, you know, when is the new serial beginning? These are small things you are not bothered about. What is for breakfast? What is for lunch? It's not that you become irresponsible, but your mind is not thinking about those things. They have become petty things for you. Oh, he has not called me for the wedding. Oh, he called that fellow first, he called me second. All these things become petty. It will eventually. Provided you live like this. Provided you live like this, then it will become. Then, being in the Grihastha Ashrama, the mind is gone there. This stage is called as Vanaprastha. Vanaprastha is what? Stage of what? Simple living with high tops. When you are in Vanaprastha stage, you all you require is one small place to sit down and study, and one bed to sleep, a very little food to eat, and survive. Right? But it's not that you have fully become contemplative. And that stage will come slowly, slowly, and that stage is called as sannyas. Sannyas is what? Stage of contemplation. Your life is fully dedicated only for contemplation. you in fact leave the family and go. But in present context you can say you need not necessarily leave, or whether leaving or not leaving is not the criterion. Your mind is 100% sitting in contemplation, you have come to the stage of sannyas. And through that sort of dedicated contemplation, you realize the self. So it is only through action do you become subtler, introverted, to become more contemplative. Otherwise the flakes are there. You know, a child also, one of the main the quality of a child is what? Energy. All you know, constantly bubbling with energy. Right? So what do? You have to engage the child into some activity. Isn't it? So you put the child in a dance class. Go down dancing, right? Then after 1 hour the child sits down. Why? Energy thoda sa direct kar diya. Read me. Similarly, the mind today is so much charged, so many things are there. You need to direct it. Shed the vasanas, offload the desires. Like there is too much of weight, then what do they do in the aircraft? They offload the luggage or the fuel, right? So exactly like that, to take off, you need to shed the desires. And to shed the desires, you need to do it through the action. You can't short. There's no shortcuts here. So therefore we say, none can remain without action even for a moment, even for the maintenance of the body. We said in verse number 8, even for the maintenance of the body, you must perform action. Perform your obligatory action, for action is superior to inaction. Why action is superior to inaction? Remember, in this context, this we say in English, idle mind is a devil's workshop. Find out. Weekends, in a country like America, which is known for action, they start working so early in the morning. Fellows leave their homes at 6 o'clock, 6:30, even when it is minus 30 degrees Celsius. Right? It's so cold. Still these guys go to work first thing in the morning. They're so active people. During weekends, inaction ho gaya. And weekends mein kya shuru hota hai? Indulgence food. Are you with me? Action is superior, because at least 5 days they were doing something. Now Friday evening, and they are saying, thank God it's Friday. In fact you should say, oh my God it's Friday. Not thank God it's Friday. You understand? Because what is happening on Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Total indulgence of that, na? So the weekends, when you are left free, when the mind is left free, you disturb yourself. That's why it is very, very interesting. It's actually something that you need to think about. See, a poor person, he is not sure about his next meal. So his mind is thinking, what can I do? How can I get my lunch? Where will I get work? Whom should I contact? You understand? He is thinking about that. When you are provided, you have enough money for the next few generations. You have so many people working for you. You have so many things. Now what do you do? What to do? You don't know. You understand? So you do not know what to do. So the mind is now inactive. This mind is dangerous. You understand? This is the thing. Very interesting. So in fact, that way if you see, people who have plenty, who are opulent, whose lifestyle is such, those people require this much more. Like Swami Vivekananda said, you know, these, he is is at the moment thinking about these things. Leave it. Philosophy is not for hungry souls. You have to teach them how to fish. First provide them fish because they are hungry. Thoda sa hunger quench hone ke baad, you have to teach them how to fish. Then through fishing and all that, when they have little bit money aa gaya, abhi kya karun? Then bring them to Vedanta. You understand what I'm saying? When you are hungry, you don't speak Vedanta. They say everything is good. Are you giving prasad after the class?
Yes.
That's all they're interested in. Because their mind is there. It's all the time with the stomach. You understand? See, even in management they teach you, right, at Maslow's theory. First the immediate, how am I going to get my food, food, clothing, shelter, all these things when they are taken care of. Then comes sex, then comes the other things, power, you understand? Slowly, slowly, Maslow's hierarchy, they talk about, in management also, you understand? The productivity becomes much better when these things are taken care of. But the problem is, when these things are taken care of, you can go down also, if you are not directed properly. This guy is available. He can take off or he can go down. So please understand what I am saying. You are in a particular position where you can take off or you can go sink. And that is when the direction becomes even more important. So many of us in the Brahmacharya Ashrama, there is a stage where the values and everything needs to be given. But still, practically you have not seen it. Your grandpa, when your grandfather told, money mein kuch nahi hai, money mein kuch nahi hai, he's been saying. But you have not seen money. Are you with me? So your mind will go to money. So there is a Grahastha Ashram, say, in Grahastha Ashram you do dharmic action and earn money. Dharmically. Then you start seeing money. Now the possibility is there for you to sink. Now what you do? Keep on studying, reflecting, keeping satsang. You understand? So that you use your potential towards the higher direction. So he says, perform your obligatory action, for action is superior to inaction. Because inaction is deadly. Remember, you have to write here in your book, idle mind is devil's workshop. Weekends, vacations, TGIF. If you remember these things, you remember what these verses say. Thoda sa time mila, what to do? Call karo. You know what happened to that person? Khatam ho gaya. Gossiping shuru hota hai. Because you become an actor. You are so busy. Little time you get, you gossip. See, now what I am trying to say is, if you were in the stage of Pranaprastha, little time you got, you will be thinking, studying Gita. You are not there now. Just imagine, if you decide ever to go and join an ashram for 3 years, what you need to do is, first you have to find out what you are doing during weekends. Really, I'm telling you this. In the class also, I am not saying this to hurt anybody, but just like what I am saying, in the class also, 1 hour, are you able to keep your mobile phone in your rooms and come? You can't. This much your mind is not free. Yes or no? I've seen even in the auditoriums when Swamiji is lecturing, when Swamiji is talking, there is something going on here. Or when Swamiji is, especially chanting is going on, they quickly use the time for sending SMS. But sometimes I was actually thinking they are sending SMS, but 1 or 2 people are sending SMS only. But what they have been doing, I believe, is their spouse is at home or at business or something like that. So what they are doing is, whatever points they learnt from just now, they are sending SMS. But that is also in a way extrovertedness only. It is introversion in extroversion, that's all. You got my point? In other words, see, mind is so preoccupied. Just for 1 hour, we can't. Are you with me? So, and then we are thinking, I should go and study in the Are, ashram, how can you do? 3 years course, 5 years course. Even sometimes when we go to retreat, 2 days, usually you will see after the class, everybody is coming out and talking on the mobile. See, it's not the mobile phone. What is wrong with mobile phone? Technology is always useful. Remember, technology, the invention is for what? If you see how is the mind working, why is man struggling so much to invent machines?
Your convenience, not for
convenience. What is
convenience?
Man has invented machines to lessen his burden. Washing machine has come. Earlier you need to wash your clothes. Now the washing machine is washing. Now when the washing machine is washing, you have time. What are you doing with the time? Are you using it for something higher? Which is good. But 99 out of 100 is not using it for higher. 99 is using it for gambling and this and that. Just that one fellow is using it for higher. Are you with me? So inaction is deadly. Inaction, you want to destroy somebody, give them free time. That is why in schools also, when they give vacation, they give homework. Please understand these things, very interesting. So action is superior to inaction. And even the maintenance of the body requires action. They say, if you rest, you will rust. If you rest a particular part of the body for so many years, so many days, it becomes useless, isn't it? In fact, there should be no retirement. One of the seminars that people want us to address is how to use your time productively after retirement. In some form or the other, you need to keep on contributing. This contribution is not for others, this contribution is for yourself. Like Swami Vivekananda says, the need of service. Like Mahatma Gandhiji also says, you know, be grateful to the person to whom you serve. Because he's given you an opportunity to serve. Because only through service can you purify yourself. So when you serve somebody, could you think, how much I've been serving, nobody thinks about me. But that service you're doing for others is good for you. It's not for receiving something from others. You understand? The more you contribute, the more alert your systems are. Believe me, the more healthy you are, the more dynamic you are, cheerful you are, it's for your good. So when you do service, you should actually be grateful to the people to whom you serve, rather than expecting them to be grateful to you. They have to be independently, when we talk to them, we say you should be grateful. But in your case, when you serve, ego comes, I am serving. You are actually helping yourself. So therefore, when you serve, you are only serving yourself. This is what you need to understand. So therefore, he says, even the maintenance of the body requires action. And then what are these obligatory actions that we talked about? We talked about in length, you remember? Pancha Maha Yajna. Do you remember that? What are the Pancha Maha Yajna that I spoke about? Which is mentioned in the Shastras. Yeah. Yeah. Deva Yajna. I'll tell you. These are 5 Yajnas. Yajna means sacrifice. Or selfless activities. What is Yajna? Yajna is nothing but selfless action. Are you with me? Selfless action. Five Mahayajnas are spoken about in the scriptures for a grihastha. All of us fit into the grihastha ashrama. And karma yoga is what? Grihastha ashrama pradana. Karma yoga pradana ashrama. Karma yoga pradana ashrama is grihastha ashrama. Means predominantly karma yoga in grihastha ashrama. What are the five yajnas? Deva yajna. Number one. You first write down, then I'll explain. Deva yajna. Then Pitru yajna. Then Manushya yajna. Then Bhuta yajna. Then Rishi Rinaha. Bhuta. Manushya yajna means service to humanity. Bhuta yajna means service to all beings, all other beings also, birds and beasts. Pitru yajna, you cannot be here without your ancestors. So you have an obligation towards your ancestors, shraddha ceremony, etc. Also in the present context, the values that they have given, you are supposed to live. The tradition, for example. See, the interesting thing is, the mind should question, no doubt. Questioning is a very important aspect. But just because when you question and your father or grandfather is not able to tell you some of the meanings of your traditional practices, doesn't mean the traditional practices lack meaning. You need to question, you need to put in the effort to find out the reason, the meaning for the traditional practices. Traditionally, you are told to rise early, go to bed early. How many of us do? Yes. There is a scientific reason behind it. So you question. So in fact, there are so many traditional things which are scientific reason. Some of them may be superstitious. We don't know. But we need to question and try to understand. So, Pitru Yajna. And then Deva Yajna. Deva Yajna. Devas. Who are Devas? Devas are said in the scriptures as celestial beings. Celestial beings in the modern context, you can understand it this way. The manifested powers, for example, well, we say wind god. Wind is considered as god. Fire god. Sun god. So many gods. Ocean god. Rain god. In other words, to the ecological system, you have a obligation. You can't throw this here, there. Today we talk about destroying the plastics and all that stuff. Maintaining the ecological balance. If you go on destroying the nature, what will happen? You will not get rain. There will be drought. Like they are saying now, it's going to be drought here in India. And when there is drought, what will happen? Less production. When there is less production,
hunger.
When there is hunger, anger. When there is hunger, there is anger. When there is anger, there is killing, destruction. Are you with me? So therefore, Deva Yajna, Pitru Yajna, Manushya Yajna, Bhuta Yajna, and then Rishi Rinaha. What is Rishi Rinaha? The Rishis have, through their meditation, revealed Shruti. Shruti means Vedas. Manushya is human beings. You have obligation to other human beings as well. Right? You can't be living now. For example, there are so many people in your house, your other family members, your servants. You understand? Like you are running a business. You can't run a business if other people are not working. Maybe you are paying them, that's fine, but they are servicing. Right? So, considering everybody, you do your actions. You have an obligation to everybody. Manushya is just humanity. Bhuta is all beings. You include all the beings. For example, without trees, you won't get oxygen.
Environment,
everything. And then rishis are the sages, masters, through their meditation revealed scriptures, the shrutis. They have given us this valuable scriptures, and through scriptures and through studying the scriptures and inquiring the scriptures, through scriptures we realize the self, and that's the highest service that we can do for ourselves and to the world, right? See, it's like this. The more egoistic you are, the more space you need. Yes or no? The less egoistic you are, very little space you need. Are you with me? Mahatma Gandhi, he didn't even wear the shirt. Why? The more and more evolved the person becomes, his life becomes simplified. What he requires is minimum. The more and more complicated a person is, highly egoistic, he requires. Now people are talking about environment saving. Iske liye BRTS. What is this BRTS business? Which created havoc in Delhi. But throughout the world, BRTS is a good system basically. What is this BRTS? Bus Rapid Transport System. Right. What does that system do? In Singapore, for example, Singapore is a beautiful model. In Singapore, if you have to buy a car, it's very expensive. Yes or no? A Mercedes Benz that will cost you here 30 lakhs or 40 lakhs would cost you maybe 80 lakhs or 1 crore. Why? Why? What have they done there? They have brought in their public transport system so beautiful, so well designed. So in other words, 50 people can travel in a bus. 4 people can travel or 5 people can travel in a Mercedes Benz. And usually one fellow travels in a Mercedes Benz. And the kind of emission, the kind of petrol it sucks, the kind of damage it does to the society. You understand? So now once everybody starts using public system, the economy also rises because things become cheaper. Do you understand what I am saying? See, always remember, economy is always connected with ego. When we are living collectively, the economy becomes simple. I mean, it's affordable. But when each one wants to have a car, then there's only this much space in the road. There will be traffic jam. See, think about it. In other words, what I am trying to say is you must understand the Gita in the practical life. Otherwise, it's a Gita. Achaya, Gita Padna. That's not how you should see it. Are you with me? So they are discouraging people. Okay, you want to have a, your ego is so much that you want to have a car for yourself? Okay, you pay this much. So that the damage, you are doing this much damage, no? You understand? You are paying for the damage. So that with that money, at least more trees can be planted and things like that. See, now what I am trying to say is, living as a part of the total. When anything goes wrong with any of the parts in your body, only then it makes its presence known. Now nothing wrong with any of the parts in the body. You are not at all aware of that part. Isn't it? Supposing before you came to this class, you hurt your finger. As you are sitting in the class, you are doing constantly like this, massaging the finger. Why? Because it's making its presence known, felt. Because there is something wrong. Right? But when the system is functioning beautifully, it's not making its presence known. So when you are part of the total, everything functions normally. So karma yoga is what? Understanding that I am a spoke in the wheel of life. I am separate, I am supreme, I am inferior. Why do I? Nobody is thinking about, nobody is thinking. Means what? You are separating yourself from the others and you are giving more importance to yourself. Karma yoga is considering yourself as a part of the total. Remember this. Based on this only, even the caste system was evolved. Somebody is more thinking type. Somebody is more of a warrior type. Somebody is more of a business type. Somebody is more of a serving type. So they segregated all of them and said, you do service because you are good in that. Your nature is that. You do business because your nature is that. You do, you take care of the kingdom because your nature is that. You are a Brahmana class. You do take care of the scriptures and all that stuff. Not because the guy is superior to the other. Nothing like that. These are all horizontal, not vertical. Eventually people made it vertical, then came the problem. Today, in my opinion, my humble opinion, India is still suffering because of the caste system. There is nothing else. And this caste system, not because of the caste system, because of the vertical caste system. But when the caste system was conceived by the Vedic teachers, it was not conceived vertically, it was conceived horizontally. See, every part of the body is necessary and important. The hair inside your nose is important. You understand? Like the poem by Milton, it says, on his blindness of the poem name, he says, "The arts are served who stand and wait." They also serve who stand and wait. It's amazing. So, in other words, nature knows best. There is everything that has been created in this world is not without a purpose. So you learn to respect everything. That is culture. Right? You understand this person will do this. I'm supposed to do this. I may be a carpenter, I may be the teacher, or I may be the boss. Doesn't matter. Not that I'm superior because I'm boss, not that I'm inferior because I'm a peon. You understand? System has to be horizontal. Like in today's context, in the Western world also there is caste system. Please understand this. Not that there is no caste system there. There is also caste system there. Thinking type is only promoted to be the boss, no? The guy who is educated, who is capable of thinking, is promoted to be the boss. The guy who is not that capable, he is brought in as a laborer. But there is a dignity of labor. Because there the caste system is horizontal. The day it becomes vertical there also it will finish. You with me? So in other words, the economy improves, everything improves. So the lesser the ego, less space you need. The greater the ego, so much space you need. Big this, big that, big, 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 big. Simple living. Somebody was telling me there is a book that has come recently called Simplify or something. Simple or Simplify something?
Simplify, I think.
Not Simplify, that is
no. Simplify.
Simplify.
Yeah.
I believe it's one of the best sellers now.
Yeah.
But I wanted to read it. They're really praising the book. And you can't just outside simplify without tackling your ego. When your ego is tackled, you automatically become simplified. Many people externally are simplified, but inside their ego is so big. Outside they are living simple life. They want to be told, you are such a simple person, such a simple person. Really simple person doesn't want that appreciation. You understand? So, why I am saying this here in the context, because when you live as a part, you just, it's like you pay the barest minimum, but also for giving. See, in this country, we have this tradition of worshipping bulls. Why do we worship bull? We worship bull for the sacrifice. The bull, from the whole day it is going on, working, working, working. very little fodder it eats and then goes. So in other words, maximum output, minimum intake, and that minimum intake is also for serving.
But the others is all ulta.
Maximum intake, very minimum output. This should change if you understand Gita. And imagine the whole society like this. Dynamic outside, needing very little inside. Imagine the richness of that country, the richness of that family. So what he is saying in this verse, see, these are all amazing verses. You should understand it and correlate it with your life. Put it into practice and experiment it. See it, only when the flakes will fall. And only when the flakes fall, you become evolved slowly. So this Panchamahayajna is, Panchamahayajna means what? In modern context, what you need to understand is, you have a certain talent. You do it for the welfare of the entire universe. As a spoke, now don't consider yourself as superior, don't consider yourself as inferior, just do what ought to be done by you. If you are a student, you are supposed to study. If you are a teacher, you are supposed to teach. Whatever is your role, play it to the best of your ability and get out. And whatever comes as a result of such an action, accept it as prasad. Oh, I'm just peon, so I'm only getting this much. See, these people are getting that much, and then the problem comes. Then the fighting starts. Then the division happens. Are you with me? We are trying to imitate them. So what he's saying is, simply do your obligation. Karyam karma. Karyam karma means, if you are a housewife, if you are a homemaker, there is a certain duty, do that. No prefix, no suffix. Perform your obligation, for action is superior to inaction. The rewards you get externally are really immaterial. The real reward from action is what? Spiritual evolution. All the other rewards are temporary. Whether you ate in a five-star hotel, whether you ate a sumptuous meal or a nonsense meal 2 days before, how does it matter today? It's gone. What is needed is, are you evolving spiritually? So an action has a reward, subtler reward, grosser reward. Grosser reward for many people is monetarily many things they get. But their mind is so agitated, they see somebody else, oh, unka itna mila, mujhe itna mila. So they become more agitated. So their reward is what? Agitation. So this is what we saw in this chapter till today. I want you all of you to understand the summary of this before we proceed further. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.